Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
To God, it's the highest, and peace be with you. Let us pray. We pray together in the words of the day. Holy Gospel, dear to God, this is that you order all things to be holy and perfect. Put away from us all things and give us those things that are beneficial.
Spoken of another day, so that their domains
It will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus says to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God." wisdom. The preacher, as the author of the book refers to himself as, the preacher expands on the many things of this world that can ultimately be a source of vanity. And in our reading for today, that subject is money and the accumulation of wealth. It's a simple fact of life that money is a constant source of attention and focus. Our society and in many ways our daily lives have built around the idea of wealth as something that not only takes care of many suffering needs, but can also signify status and power. It's so hard to see as pretty much everywhere you look in American culture, we're bombarded with the idea that money can essentially buy happiness. But the irony that the preacher of Ecclesiastes points out is that the more money that one accumulates, the more one covets. To borrow the American phrase, chasing wealth inevitably ends up in a constant keeping up with the Joneses mentality, where nothing is enough and there's always something bigger and better out there that you can acquire for money. And not to destroy our culture too much, but we're fed steady diet of commercials and advertising that are designed to tell us what that next thing so we see clearly that the naked pursuit of wealth can lead us down this road to being satisfied. And if we don't rest, if we let the pursuit of material wealth consume us, we will surely get all the priorities of our life completely out of order. We will also fail to find contentment. The preacher of Ecclesiastes, James, the preacher standing before you, is not saying that the entire concept of money or even wealth is intrinsically evil. It's pretty clear from the reading here that the preacher is referring to money that is worshipped, that is hoarded up at the expense of others. Money is a tool that can be used for many good sanitary causes and purposes, and in the fulfillment of the vocations that we have in this life. But it is true that the more we acquire, the more we are tempted to trust in it, to ultimately worship it and place it before God. In contrast, the preacher says, a humble laborer sits well at night, even if he does not have abundance. And he tells us money is vanity because it cannot change the ultimate fate of humanity. No matter how rich or how poor, all of humanity will face the reality of death. And although death is often referred to as one of the only things in this world that you can be sure will happen from one of our chances, we still try to pretend that this is not the case. Many people hoped that their great wealth would shield them, would insulate them from the realities of mortality. But again, the creature warns, this is vanity. As part of my teaching at Lutheran High School Studies in St. Louis, I teach history classes as well as theology. And if you look at world history, much of it revolves around people, especially rulers, clinging to wealth as if it is the answer to all the problems of life. In many cultures, for example, no matter who you were buried with a certain amount of worldly guilt, with the idea that you could somehow take it with you to the afterlife. For the most powerful, their tombs remain icons of was believed and used by the young Pharaoh in his journey to Egypt. But as we know from that discovery, the blood was not able to use the blood. And Pharaoh is still alive. Now, before we start to think ourselves superior to the Egyptian Egyptians, because we still tries to ignore the realities of death as much as possible. And many people, even at the end of their life, still worry about their material wealth, the home that they have lived in, the money they will leave behind them, perhaps as an inheritance. And again, it is not sinful to care about your loved ones or planning to leave them an inheritance after death. To live with concern or have anxiety or worry, consume us. Ecclesiastes is right when he says that we can take nothing for our toil. But for me who have been baptized into Christ, who trust in Christ, life, death, and resurrection, we do carry the righteousness of Christ with us. For his toil, his life, death, and resurrection, those have given us all that we need. We have been clothed in Christ's perfect and saving soil. And we can be certain that when we die, we will not die eternally, but live. We don't need to bring anything of ours because Christ has given us everything. Jesus is our wealth, our treasure, as we just said in the sacred hymn. Treasure which no one can steal. Treasure which will not fade, will not tarnish, will not diminish in any way. This is the reward of all who die in the Lord. While we can take comfort in the fact that our eternal life is secure, we are still left with the question of how to live our earthly lives in the year. Here our reading from Ecclesiastes offers us more insight. Indeed, here the life is not storing up material wealth and freedom is seeking after it, trusting in money to save us. No, we are called to live in contentment with things that God gives to us. Everything we have is a gift from God and is not sinful to enjoy but to give us. The preacher says in verse 18, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun. A few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his life." Contentment comes not from rejecting all of the gifts of God, but in passively receiving this life with an open hand. causes us to always want more and to covet what has been given to others. Ecclesiastes says we will do this by accepting our lot, rejoicing in our toil, being occupied in the joy of that. What might this look like in our daily lives? We have citizens making sure that we balance our worldly pursuits with attention to our spiritual pursuits. We find ourselves being caught up in things and ambitions. We should return to God's Word to remind ourselves Christ, our true treasure. Continue to be faithful in worship, in prayer, and in worship. Accept what God has given in His grace and wisdom. Resist the temptation of covet and envy. Try to keep up in society with us, which is sick with consumerism and addicted to comparing houses. Doing this, we as Christians, by living lives of faithful, trusting contentment, we can even shine the light of Christ into our own weary, love-chasing world. We can provide a faithful witness to our friends and neighbors, modeling that contentment. It's not always easy. So, friends in Christ, hold fast. He has given us all that we need for both this life and eternal life. Even if you do not store up riches to your own earth, we have the greatest wealth planned for you. Eternal inheritance, which we do not need to toil for ourselves. For Christ has won it for us by his own toil, his own love for us. Thanks be to God. Deliver us from every fear and trouble. We praise the Lord and continue to be in our minds. Lord, in your mercy. To God, with us, salvation is possible. But with you, all things are possible. Give boldness to your church to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, by whose death and resurrection the way to your kingdom has been opened. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, bless all who study about the opportunities this time has. Raise up four church workers for the harvest is plentiful and the labor is plentiful. Lord, in your mercy. Spare the
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.